Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Welcome to our final edition, I guess, for 2019. The Crossover Podcast presented, as always, by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and also now in Five Points in Athens. Chris Brame from the Home Team, David Johnston from the Morning Show. You mix that up and you get the Crossover Podcast. We appreciate you listening to us. However you do, it is easy if you get the 960 The Ref app. Just download that in the App Store if you have an iPhone, or Google Play if you have an Android. And you can get all of our on-demand content whenever you demand it. Or just listen to The Ref live anytime, wherever you are. Also stream Georgia sports programming within a 75-mile radius of Athens, including next Wednesday night's Sugar Bowl. You know, if you just want to go lay in bed and listen to it on the radio, like, that's how I used to listen to Monday Night Football when I was a kid. So you have the option on the app. You just do that, since it does kick off at 8:45 Eastern time.
Just brutal.
Yeah, but so since this is our last episode before then, I guess we'll break down the Sugar Bowl and some of these other bowl games as bowl season really starts.
You've been listening to the Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
The Hawaii Bowl was phenomenal for the hijinks.
Oh, that, great.
That was in that.
It was great.
Yeah. There was, I believe, BYU made a field goal that looked pretty obviously good that the official said was no good, and for some reason that's something that can't be reviewed.
See, I didn't get the it was so obviously good. To me, it kind of looked like it could have gone over the top of the. Did you think it was?
I thought it was good.
Oh, I mean, I'm watching it, and I don't know.
I thought it was good.
It
like
was
that.
One of those that it wasn't right down the middle or anything.
I thought it was good, like that kick Missouri made in Columbia against us last year that they called no good.
Yeah,
and it was like, well, are they going to ever show that replay again? Because
right.
Even the TV announcers, I remember, thought like. Really? That was no good?
Well, again, it gets to the point where it's like, where are the camera angles that you need? I get it. I know. It's in Hawaii. It's a fourth-tier bowl game.
Right.
They don't have 80 cameras on it.
What do they have there? Like seven games a year, basically, in that stadium?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But there was another play in that game where the BYU quarterback was running in for a touchdown, and he got spun out and fumbled at the goal line. And I thought that one looked like it could have been – he might have gotten across before he lost the ball. But, there again, no angle on that one either.
There was no angle on that one. But to me, the giveaway was the Hawaii defender who dislodged the ball was in the end zone.
I know. I know.
So, yeah, but there's no, like, just straight down the –
there's nothing straight down the goal line. You don't normally see – it's almost like if you can do a pylon cam – why can't you do a cam at the on the
right.
On the goalpost?
Well, and I get like, okay, so that stadium only hosts whatever, like maybe a half dozen games a year, but ESPN is producing the broadcast.
Yeah.
Can't they have a camera that's just positioned like?
Why can you not put a camera on the top of the goalpost?
Yeah, I don't know.
On each one, but I know it's a cost involved.
Yeah,
it's expensive. I get it. You're when you're broadcasting a bowl game from Hawaii, you're trying to keep it as cheap as possible. I'm surprised Jason Benetti even got to go to Hawaii. I'm surprised they didn't make him call it from a studio.
Yeah, from Bristol.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So at least they had announcers there. But
it might have turned out to be a Merry Christmas for those MAC refs.
Yeah. But again, the theory of Hawaii gets all the calls at home is actually, you know, they're not very good against the spread.
No, but they had a couple.
But they were the other night.
Yeah, they got basically the benefit of maybe 10 points there.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did. It was a fun game, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the only sporting event on Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was no NBA, college, basketball.
I don't think there was any. Yeah, was I think that not, was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
You get one game on Christmas Eve. But so Georgia will be heading to the Sugar Bowl back in New Orleans again for the second straight season. And for the second year in a row, the question for me is the same as it was last year. It all comes down to motivation of the team. I get a feeling the fan base is definitely not as motivated this year as it was last year. And I don't even think the motivation last year was high, coming off just another crushing loss to Alabama. But at least the opponent then was Texas. This appears to be a much tougher ticket to sell to even a well-traveled and willing to travel Georgia fan base. I'll be curious to see how much red is in the stands next Wednesday.
I think this is just this perfect storm for Georgia travel fatigue. Even going back to 2017 with the Rose Bowl, you know, that magical season and the Rose Bowl win and then coming so close in the championship game. And then last year, going to New Orleans twice for a lot of folks because there was the LSU game and a lot of folks, you know, spent the weekend in New Orleans, and then going back to the Sugar Bowl after losing just a heartbreaking SEC championship game, and now getting sent back to the Sugar Bowl again for the second year in a row after losing the SEC championship game. And with New Year's Day being on a Wednesday, it's hard to make it a long weekend in either direction. I just think it's a perfect storm. And if Georgia had been going to a different bowl game, there might have been a little bit more of the travel that the fans would be a little bit more willing to fork out. But this one's just one that's just setting up where, like, a lot of folks are like, we're good. We'll be ready to go next year, but we're good for this year.
The Orange Bowl would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's on that Monday. So you can have the weekend, take that Monday, then have New Year's Eve,
exactly.
And then, you know, maybe have New Year's Day to decompress, and then you get back to work on the 2nd.
Right.
Plus, Georgia hasn't played in the Orange Bowl since, you know, 19-something or other. What is it, 60? Was that it? Yeah. And, you know, the opponent would have been Virginia, okay, and Georgia's going to open with them next season. But still, it would have been the destination would have been different. I think it might have had a little bit of a different feeling. And that's the thing, nothing against Baylor, because Baylor is very good.
Yeah.
But it's still, when it comes to college football and there's the, you know, the branding and the name brandness and of programs, Baylor is not Texas, which is what Georgia had last year. And as we saw last year, Georgia didn't even care about that. I mean, it completely no-showed in that game.
Would you rather play in the Sugar Bowl 2 years in a row as a consolation game, or would you rather play in the Orange Bowl knowing that you're going to be playing the same team 2 years in a row? And to me, it's the Orange Bowl playing, because the Virginia game next year in Atlanta is going to be different.
Yeah.
It's just because it's two different teams.
Right, and it's thank goodness that Perkins, their quarterback, will be gone. But hopefully our quarterback won't be gone. But, it'll be and plus it'll be the regular season, so it'll definitely have a lot more meaning to it.
Sure.
I come at it as someone, I don't travel to the games anyway, so I guess for me, if I'm just going to watch the game on TV, does it matter where the game is, if Georgia's back in the Sugar Bowl again or playing in the Orange Bowl?
Right.
I guess not. I probably would have preferred that a Monday night game as opposed to 8:45 on, sure, it's New Year's Day, but it's also Wednesday night at that point.
I know. That's just, like I said, it was just a perfect storm of things that are going to hurt the attendance for this game, and why the resale on that secondary ticket market is so low.
Yeah.
But, you know, and again, like you said, it wasn't one of the blue bloods of the Big 12, like having Texas there last year, let it be in Baylor. Georgia's been to the Sugar Bowl more than any other bowl in its history. This will be the 11th time Georgia's gone to the Sugar Bowl. The next highest on the list is the Capital One /Citrus/Tangerine. Georgia's been to that one 6 times. So there's a lot of things going on here. And the Orange Bowl would have been cool just because it's been so long since Georgia's been to that game. And that's where these contracts get written and they get stuck in these situations that they can't help themselves. And at the SEC Championship game, talking to a very high-ranking Sugar Bowl official, you know, he said, he's like, we
being the Sugar Bowl, we really need Georgia to beat LSU.
So they could take someone other than Georgia.
Exactly. He knew what was coming, because he knew LSU was going to be in the playoff anyway.
Right.
Because they were thinking, we'd rather have Florida there. He didn't say that, but for the Sugar Bowl, they would have rather had Florida there this year than Georgia.
Yeah. And they're going to figure it out at some point here that bowl game, when it's not one of the playoff games, you're getting the runner-up in the SEC that does not want to be there. Because even had Alabama won the Iron Bowl, then I guess Bama would be in that game, and we'd be in the Orange Bowl probably. So Bama ends up kind of hooking us again.
Yeah, enough, just never fails.
In a roundabout way, but okay, but if the Sugar Bowl had Alabama there, they'd had an Alabama team that was basically in the same position that – Georgia is. But now for Alabama, when you think about it, well, they get to go play Michigan. It might be in a lower-tiered bowl game, but to me, that's – like, would you rather play Michigan or Baylor?
For sure, Michigan.
Yeah, right? So –
and nothing against Baylor.
No. I mean, I said, Baylor is very good.
Yeah.
But this is still just – it's another one of those games like last year where is Georgia the better team? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always matter in bowl games. We know our two tackles aren't playing. I guess, is Swift playing? I know he made the announcement that he's...
Officially, we haven't heard anything.
Right, yet. And I know practices have been closed.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that he's not going to. I don't know why he would. If his shoulder's still tender, if he's still not 100%, and he's still being projected as a first-round draft pick if he decides to enter the draft, I'm not seeing anything that would point to him playing in that game.
Me either, which is why it's weird that he... I know there was a report that he was announcing he was going to turn pro, and then he said, no, I'm going to wait till after the bowl game.
Yeah.
So are you just looking for a trip to New Orleans?
I don't know. Exactly. He's been there. He went there last year.
Yeah, and he was amongst those.
Does he want the swag bag?
Maybe.
I can promise him that the money he'll get for his first-round contract, he can get a lot of swag bags if that's what it's about.
He'll be doing all right, yeah. But even – what did he have, like 8 yards rushing last year? I mean, he was a part of the team that went down there and looked disinterested.
He was really the only one that jumps to mind from last year that really looked like he wanted to be there.
And you would think Harrion will – he'll want to be there again this year.
Holyfield was our leading rusher with 62 yards on 12 carries.
Okay.
And I've got like a partial box score, so I don't have everything.
Well, that would sum it up if Swift doesn't even make the partial box score.
Yeah. He caught a 5-yard pass from Fromm with 14 seconds left. I do remember that now that I'm looking at it.
I'll be honest with you, I do not remember that. I believe I was not watching then.
So Georgia did score. It's kind of weird. Fromm threw TD passes to Harrion and Swift, and also threw one to Hardman. But two of the three touchdown passes went to running backs in that game. But anyway, there wasn't a whole lot to remember. Yeah, I'm not picking on Jake Camarda, but my other memory of that game is when he took the knee on the punt snap.
Yeah. Snap was bad, but still, he just was like, just probably thinking of fielding the ball.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it was just a kind of a weird play.
Because he actually got off a good punt from what I remember.
I think you're right. Of course it meant, because that was, didn't they go to the commercial break and came back and said that play has been reviewed and his knee was down.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy.
And then you looked at it and like, his knee was down. I'm like, wait a second, the punter can't do that?
Yeah.
No, he can't. So anyway.
Yeah, I do feel like, though, no matter who Georgia's got on the field for this game coming up Wednesday, and by the way, there's a lot of rumors floating around that there's between guys not playing because of their future, academics, injuries, whatever, Georgia's going to be down, maybe, 10 players potentially.
Well, we know there was the Ben Cleveland report, which we talked about last week, and we know Wilson and Thomas, so that's three.
Three right there.
Yeah, that's three offensive linemen.
The James Cook situation is kind of up in the air.
Right.
So there's four right there.
Yeah.
And then, again, there are apparently – maybe some academics that we're not aware of, too, that's going to keep some players out. I guess when the team reports tomorrow, we're taping this on Thursday, when the media gets their first crack at a Georgia practice, they'll just start counting bodies and see who's there and who's not.
Yeah, can't hide forever. And even we'll finally get to hear from the assistant coaches.
And that's right. That's another thing there, too.
James Coley will probably be more popular than Kirby.
I would think so, for sure. I would definitely think so.
I know.
And I like that when those guys do get to talk, you know, because you don't get to hear from them, you know. And then
they should.
You know, I always liked it when, like, Coach Chaney would talk. He's like, this guy's cool.
Yeah, like Mel Tucker.
Yeah,
like Mel
exactly.
Tucker's not allowed to speak during the season. Yeah. Like, these are adults.
You know, that's how Kirby wants to do it.
Is that how Nick did it?
So it just – it almost feels like it's going to bring more on these coordinators when they do – you know, have to talk.
Yeah, because that's the thing for Coley. It's he could have talked this season, and then he could have, you know, it could have all been wrung out.
Right.
But now it's just going to be this avalanche of
yeah.
We haven't, but because I guess they talk once in the preseason.
Yep.
So it's been since August,
yeah.
maybe
since we've heard from.
Yeah.
Them.
So you've just had like this bubbling up now for what, 3 or 4 months.
So I was in Spartanburg over the weekend before Christmas. And some of my South Carolina buddies were asking me about Bobo. And they were like, did Muschamp just hire him because they're friends? That was what they were wanting to know.
Oh.
And my answer was, well, they are friends, but no, he hired him because he's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's a good coordinator. You know? There was a lot of Georgia people that wanted Kirby to go after him.
I know.
You know, but we don't know the ins and outs of what's going on over in the coaches. Rooms, the plays, and all that stuff. And I told my buddies, I was like, I promise you, Mike's a good coach.
Well, your South Carolina fans probably are just remembering that time they won because we didn't give the ball to Gurley.
So. I thought about that, but I didn't bring it up. None of them brought it up either. So, but yeah, that did come to mind. But Georgia did score how many points in that game?
35,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I thought final was 38-35.
Yeah. So that's the thinking that did he just hire Bobo because they're buddies? No,
that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, that might be.
Yeah.
That might have helped, but Mike's also a good coach.
That is so between Muschamp, Bobo, Brian McClendon, and isn't Thomas Brown on the staff? They got four Bulldogs coaching on that staff.
And McClendon didn't lose his job. He just got, I guess, demoted.
He got demoted, yeah. So.
And I don't know what how the shakeup is, how, like, who's doing what specifically.
Yeah. I think McClendon now is maybe doing receivers.
Okay. And Thomas is still coaching the running backs.
Yeah.
Bobo will do the quarterbacks, offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
No, they got stronger staff-wise by hiring Mike Bobo, I think.
Oh, absolutely they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a better coaching staff. They did only go 4-8 this year, but they had a very tough schedule. I know we got plenty of time to pick through all the schedules coming up in 2020, but just as far as the coaching staff goes, they got better by hiring Mike Bobo.
Well, we know they're still going to have to play Georgia and Clemson next year, and we don't know how strong Georgia's going to be. I think I think like almost 100% of that depends on whether or not Fromm comes back.
Right.
But they won't have to play Bama next season, so they will at least the tide will roll off their
schedule.
Unless
it's in the SEC championship
game. That's right, yeah.
Game.
We play Bama instead next year. So, yeah, Georgia going back to the Sugar Bowl, just to recap, and it's a bowl game. Georgia lost the SEC championship game again, so it just comes down to motivation.
Exactly.
And
although, wouldn't you say, though, on the offensive line, it might be a little more than motivation.
Oh, yeah, that's
because,
true.
Because,
yeah.
You know, there's some big holes to fill there.
Yeah.
You and I could be playing the two tackle spots, and we could be highly motivated, but if we're not ready to play or if we're green, it's going to be tough.
Well, and honestly, it goes to the opposite of motivation. Then those guys are going to be playing in that game instead will actually be excited to play.
Sure.
Than the ones that are sitting it out. And, the defense had so many young guys on there, too, that I thought a problem with last year's team was so much of that team had played in the Rose Bowl the year before. So it was easy to see where they would be, you know, completely, like, non-excited.
It was a letdown.
Yeah, but like this year's team, not having that Rose Bowl experience, you know, N'Kobe Dean, Nolan Smith, Jermaine Johnson, you know, even like Eric Stokes, most of the secondary outside of Reed, I guess LeCount would have been a freshman on that Rose Bowl team, but other than Reed, most of the secondary and everyone on that defense and at least the back seven should feel like, yeah, the Sugar Bowl, this is a big game and a big deal. So maybe that'll help. But this year, for sure, it's the Georgia fan base is not that into this.
And I can live with not winning the game. It's just that you want to see something a little more positive than what we saw last year.
Yeah, the team completely no-showed last year.
Yeah. Yeah. You get beat, that's fine.
Yeah. But look, even you're talking about the players not being motivated, but I mean, Georgia's defensive coordinator had already left too. So yeah. It's not just players, that's but true. These coaches check out also.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, the Crossover Podcast is presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com, or perhaps the easiest way is to just download the 960 The Ref app, and you can get all of our on-demand content there, plus listen to The Ref live anytime. Even got the open mic feature, so if Georgia doesn't post next week in the Sugar Bowl, then you know at like 2 a.m. you can just you could start screaming into your phone,
just yell.
Yeah, but so it's good. Get the 960 The Ref app. It's in the App Store if you have an iPhone, or Google Play if you have an Android. We will pause briefly here, then we'll come back, and I guess we'll you want to talk about those two semifinal games.
Yeah, let's do that
coming up. All right, it's we got.
Do you want to talk about the Falcons?
Not really.
Yeah,
we can mention them, and I'll.
They're just frustrating.
Yeah, but like I was thinking, even with the, well, I know we said we'd break, but these NFL teams are all they're dumb. So I'm watching the Dolphins win the other day, yeah. And I'm even watching like the Bengals come back and almost win.
Right,
like, you have the number one pick at stake.
Yeah,
and like, why are these teams winning games?
Yeah,
if the league incentivizes you, once you're not in the playoffs with a better draft pick, I don't get it. I don't get what the Falcons are doing here. And plus, Dan Quinn might come back.
Yeah, he's not – it's not an assurance that he's gone.
No.
I know.
All right, yes.
It's frustrating.
Maybe we will talk about that for a little bit.
Or maybe we just did.
Yeah, these things that frustrate us. Yeah.
Things that grind our gears.
The college football playoff that has Justin Fields and Clemson in it and, you know, LSU who beat us or the Falcons. It's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, final edition of 2019, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. Chris and Dave with you. And, yeah, so what do you want? The Falcons or the playoff?
Let's talk about the playoff for a moment.
All right.
I'm going Clemson and LSU.
I like LSU, but I really am conflicted on the Clemson and Ohio State
I am too.
Thing.
I've settled on Clemson.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've gone back and forth on that one.
There's the Clemson history against Ohio State in, like, these bowl games.
Didn't they play in a Fiesta Bowl? Didn't Clemson beat them 31-0?
Yes,
and
they did.
Aren't they playing in a Fiesta Bowl this week? It's like, stop that.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Clemson's probably not going to beat them 31-0.
No.
I'm going to go out on a limb there.
And here's the and I think there's also, like, all right, Clemson's been to now all but the first playoff. They've been to every one of them, and they're the defending national champs. So that kind of works into the thinking too. But absent that, because that doesn't even matter either, that they're the defending champs.
Yeah.
This is a different team,
right?
These are two completely different strengths of schedules coming in here.
Yeah.
Ohio State has played a way tougher schedule than Clemson has. So if you were just considering the teams based on like that and ignoring the fact that Clemson's the defending champ, and Clemson's an excellent team, but Ohio State is way more tested than Clemson is. Clemson, even
in how much of an X factor though is Fields' knee too?
I know that's a huge question
too.
Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
He was definitely hurt in that Big Ten title game.
Yeah.
Or playing
for
hurt.
Sure, for sure. I mean, this has been going back to what the Penn State game. Into November.
Yeah.
And then I guess Michigan, and then like you said, in that Big Ten title game. Now he's saying 80-85%. So I mean, he's telling you he ain't 100%.
No. And that's the thing that worries you, even when he was healthy, he took a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
And you know, what is Clemson really good at? Pressuring
quarterbacks
and sacking quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So but I also look at I think Ohio State's strength of schedule, and you look at how they they peaked down the stretch beating who? Penn State, Michigan, and then they came back and beat Wisconsin in that.
They were down at the half of the Big Ten title game. Was it 21-7?
It was 21 to.
They won 34-21.
It was 21-7 or 21-6, something like that. Yeah, they were getting beaten pretty good. Yeah.
And then they come back and almost cover.
Yeah. But Clemson hasn't played anyone like all year.
But the thing is, they blow everybody out.
Right.
So there is that.
Yes. But but that's the thing. Ohio State has pretty much blown everyone out too, but they've played tougher
competition.
But it's
weird. The Penn State game, they couldn't put them away.
Yeah, they started fumbling.
Yeah, Penn State's, they're not bad. And then Wisconsin, they fell behind. And then, again, they rolled to a win.
Yeah, they boat raced them in the second half, though.
And, now Michigan, I think there's just – there's a combination of, Ohio State having a big case of the wants and Michigan just completely –
it's in their head
now. In their head, yeah, for sure.
It's like how we were against Florida for a while.
Exactly. That's what that's turned into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of how Tech is against us.
Totally, yeah. Although this past game, it was
– we're just better.
Talent on the field.
Yeah,
just, yeah. Not even close.
Yeah, like they were just a bad team.
Tech's transitioning from, that offense that they were running and what they're doing. To me, I see it as like Georgia's basketball team transitioning from the Mark Fox offense to what Coach Green wanted to do. And what did Georgia do last year? They won two games in the conference and turned the ball over a million times.
Yeah.
So at least now we're not seeing the turnovers quite as much, and the talent level is
exactly.
Not to get off on a basketball tangent, we got plenty of time to talk about that. Is anyone giving Oklahoma any prayer on Saturday?
No, but I do. I'll take the two touchdowns though.
Yeah,
Oklahoma's too good on offense just to get completely run out of the building. And the Clyde Edwards-Helaire injury is
that's significant.
That is a huge factor for LSU, but. In the end, I think the three of the four teams, with Oklahoma being the odd team out, between Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU, those three teams are playing on a much different level than anyone else in the country. And you look at – and maybe it's been 3 weeks, I guess, now, but you look at the way Oklahoma kind of limped to the finish line, and they won, but they just squeaked by Iowa State, squeaked by Baylor twice, squeaked by TCU late in the season, and – Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, they were not squeaking by teams.
Not at all. And even, Oklahoma lost. They didn't have a loss. They're the only team in the playoff that has a loss.
Yes, they are. They lost to Kansas State.
Kansas State ended up being, I think, better than everybody thought.
Yeah, but they lost.
It's weird. They have a loss.
Clemson almost lost.
It felt like it.
Yeah.
But hey, that North Carolina team, maybe they're a little bit better than
Well, it woke Clemson up
for because
no one even sniffed Clemson the rest of the year.
And and again, like you said, the talent level of the teams are playing is different. But Trevor Lawrence did get off to a slow start in kind of the first month of the season, but he's been dynamic and he's been really, really good.
Yeah. Now I thought that team was kind of predictably sleepwalking through the early part of the season, and they had their wake up call, and it was
and they were like, "All right, we can't do this again." Over under on Oklahoma and LSU is 76. By the way, for the Georgia game, it's been toggling between 41 and 42. Oh,
yeah, very low total. Because that's the boat. Like Baylor's not your typical Big 12 team. They have an excellent defense, and their offense is. Their offense is the opposite of ours. Their offense is like basically it's either an explosive play or nothing. Our offense is actually probably better than we perceive it to be, but because of the lack of explosiveness, we've just have struggled to really like put up big numbers.
Exactly.
So
I agree. And Baylor is coming off a 61-6 regular season finale win at Kansas. I mean, think about that. Now, I know they beat TCU in overtime, but they've got two losses on the year to Oklahoma. That's it. That's what's keeping them out of the playoff.
And they were close. They were up 28-3 in one of them.
Yes. I think we do remember that, don't we?
Yeah.
Did they lead in the Big 12 championship?
Yes. They took a lead in that game.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Brewer, their quarterback, got hurt, and they came back and actually looked like when Oklahoma was about to pull away, they came back and tied the game and ended up in overtime.
That's right.
Yeah. I guess we don't know if Brewer's going to play or not Wednesday. He's been in concussion protocol.
Yeah. The other question is, will this be Matt Rhule's final game as the Baylor coach?
Yeah. Maybe. Will he even make it there? All these NFL teams are going to start firing guys.
Got Black Monday coming up.
Yeah. Sunday night, Monday.
Yeah.
Including, will the Falcons make a move with Dan Quinn?
Yes or no? I'm going to say yes.
I really don't see how you could bring him back, but I think it's probably 50-50.
Oh, totally.
Where at one point it was like, oh, this guy's getting canned like next week. And then he never did. And if Atlanta wins against Tampa Sunday, they're going to finish 7-9,
right? 7-9 after a 1-7
start. Just morons.
Start. I know.
Yeah. I'm watching the Dolphins last week. And so basically they bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw like 5 touchdown passes in a game so they can continue to stink for a decade.
Yeah. I know. They
traded Tunsil, they traded Fitzpatrick, and then they end up winning like, what are they at now, 4 or 5 wins?
So where are they in the pecking order?
I mean, they're still top 10, but...
But the Bengals have wrapped up the number one spot.
So they're not going to get Burrow. You won't be able to get Chase Young. Probably won't even be able to get, like, Andrew Thomas, where Miami's going to end up drafting.
Well, yeah, I know. And then you're like, what are you doing?
I know. And I'm even watching the Falcons win. If you're a Falcons fan and you're like, oh, yeah, you're excited about them winning, it makes no sense. Because the goal should be to make the playoffs every year in the NFL. But as long as the league incentivizes you with a better draft pick,
once you've been eliminated from the playoffs,
you should lose.
You should almost just shut it down.
Yes, you should not win
anymore. No more games. It's not even play.
No, you shouldn't win any more games. Or at the very least, like, your best players are like, no, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are not playing anymore this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
As exciting as that game was against the 49ers,
it was a terrible.
That was a terrible win.
Yeah. And for more than just the worst draft pick, you also helped the Saints by beating the 49ers.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, way to go.
Because the Saints are like, by the way, if the Packers lose and if the Niners lose and we win, we can get the number one seed.
Yes. So, you help your rival by beating the Niners.
Yeah.
And you end up getting a worse draft pick. Like, last year was the worst, though, when Atlanta beat the Panthers and Bucks the last two games of the year, because not only did they get a worse draft pick, but then their two division opponents got better
exactly
ones. Yeah,
I know. And I don't know where things stand. Yeah, I haven't dissected the standings, but, you know, does this, if they beat the Bucks, how much does that help the Bucks, all that kind of stuff? The Falcons, now see, here's the weird thing. If the Falcons win Sunday, the Falcons and Bucks will both be 7-9.
And they would have split there.
They would have split, so I don't know how the tiebreaker works. Yeah, see, knowing the Falcons, it'll affect them negatively.
Right now, the Falcons would pick 13th, thanks to a 3-game winning streak.
And if it's a 4-game winning streak, then I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, they'll slip. Because the Falcons are 6-9. The Jets, Broncos, and Clowns are also 6-9. And then you've got Oakland, Dallas, Indy, and the Bucks are 7-8. The Bears are 7-8 too, but it doesn't matter. They don't have their pick. That would go to Oakland. So
Oakland. There's another one that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So yeah, man, the Falcons probably would. The Falcons could probably pick anywhere from, I guess, like maybe 10, all the way down to 17 or 18, depending on different tie breaks, and who wins and who loses this weekend.
I love the Jameis factor, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to throw 4 touchdowns and maybe 4 picks.
Yeah. Wasn't that what he did when they first played this year?
Yeah.
Didn't he throw, like, 4 touchdowns?
He did.
And threw, like, threw a pick, maybe fumbled once, too?
Yeah, he turns it over every game. He's an interesting dude. I mean, he's, like, historically now I'm seeing stats about, you know, how significant his turnovers are.
Yeah. Well, if you're a Falcons fan, you should root for them to lose to the Bucs.
Yeah, you should root for Jameis to have a clean game.
Yeah. Like, does Atlanta have the I guess the Chiefs have won 5 in a row. It's like, has Atlanta won? Baltimore, duh. Baltimore's won 11 straight.
They won 11 in a row. Their quarterback's pretty good.
He is pretty good.
Yeah, I like him.
He is pretty good. I think he's going to be the MVP.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. All right, Dave, well, have a happy new year.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. We'll see you. We'll do this again next week, and we'll when we do this next time, we'll have a Georgia football result.
We'll have a Georgia football result and maybe some more clarity on who's staying and who's going.
Yeah, and also, we didn't touch on this, but we're also going to learn some stuff next week about some players that may have signed with Georgia that we don't know yet, or that's not officially out there. Some five-star signees. So we might actually have, even no matter how the bowl game goes on Wednesday night, we may have some good news coming next Thursday.
Are you talking about more than just Darnell Washington and Kelee Ringo?
Just potentially, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That D lineman from Columbia is coming here, isn't he?
I don't know about him.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. But, yeah, you're just hearing some other things that are floating around out there.
Because that was a weird...
Yeah, that's the kind of story that this always makes recruiting great.
Yeah. I'm committing. I'm putting the South Carolina hat on, but yeah. You're not going to hear from me anymore.
No signature.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, when you got these recruiting services, they do a good job of covering these guys.
Yes.
And then, but when this guy has said to you, he has looked in the camera and he has said, South Carolina, but the recruiting services are like 30% for one school, 30% for another, 40% for another. It's like, wait a minute. I don't know that he's going to South Carolina.
Right.
Because he might.
Right. Those guys are not just making that up.
Their livelihood depends on being accurate and correct and covering
these
guys.
And to be fair, he's one. And why am I blanking on his name? What is his name?
Birch.
Yeah, Jordan Birch.
Yeah.
But like this is the thing. I looked at Rivals, and Rivals had him, I think, like 40% coming to Georgia, and then 24/7 Sports had like 40% going to LSU, and only it was like 15% going to Georgia. But none of them had South Carolina.
Even though he just told me he was going to South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah. He pulled that hat out of that box last week.
Yes. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's agonizing if it's your school that's involved in it, but it's just what makes the signing day and recruiting just so interesting.
Well, and that's the thing, he didn't sign, and I guess, you know, technically he doesn't have to.
And honestly, he shouldn't.
Right. No, because it's it's a bad one-sided contract.
Exactly. And there's not a school in the country that wouldn't take him.
Exactly.
So why does he need to sign?
Right. He doesn't.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he will or whatever, but it does keep that open so that at least real signing day will still be spicy that first Wednesday in February.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Well, have a happy new year.
Thank you, Chris. Same to you.
Hopefully the Dogs do post in the Sugar Bowl. We'll come back next week, talk about that over Baylor. Yeah, probably have some Cruton on the docket too, and maybe some other Georgia news as well. Hopefully good, but you know, could be bad also when it comes to guys having to decide whether or not they want to return to Athens or head to the NFL. Have a happy new year, everyone, and we'll be back next week with another exciting edition of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points in Athens here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to the Crossover presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.